Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Uber is expected to roll out a temporary fuel surcharge to help drivers. Is that going to be enough?
Right.
Uber drivers.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Do Uber drivers know? Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Are you Ubers? Hello.
So you got Uber, you got Lyft.
Uh-huh.
You got DoorDash. What's that DoorDash? What's that one with the shopping?
Grubhub?
No.
Oh, wow.
Instacart.
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 Yeah.
Wow, we got so lazy.
We are so lazy. And, you know, it was a great call from a tribe member, and it was so enlightening that all of these people, like, because we were like, where did all these 20-somethings go?
Yeah.
All the workers. No one could find the workers. They're all driving. They're Amazon drivers.
Yeah.
They're Lyft, Uber, DoorDash.
All that stuff.
Instacart.
Yep.
It's great. You set your own hours. You check in when you want.
Yeah.
It's very simple. You don't need to learn a trade.
No.
And then learn another trade. You just, all I got to do is drive, take this list, go into a store, get it, bring it over here, drop it off. That's it.
Have a working vehicle. That's it.
And you set your hours and no one's yelling at you. Maybe some people. But.
I'm going to start right now.
That's where they went.
Yeah.
They're all driving. So everything's going up, the price of gas, groceries. So it's got to be tough for these Uber drivers because you're going to get less than a tip, right?
Cause, I would think.
Right?
Was it required like a certain percentage for a tip? Like a restaurant?
I don't know. At DoorDash, you get to choose what percentage before you even submit your order.
That sucks. You got to tip before the person brings it?
See, you can't do that. Yeah, there's, you got a tip based on...
There's half a burger missing. And you have a 20% tip.
Yeah, you want your stuff to arrive quickly,
right.
Still warm,
yeah,
correctly.
Right, large fries. I see a small fry quantity in a large fry container.
Yeah, but you tip before now to ensure that, like, your delivery comes first.
So it's more like a bribe.
Because what they're doing...
But does it?
They're stopping at multiple places, usually, to drop off multiple orders at once.
Oh, so if you give the better tip,
if
they're going to come to you first.
If you give the better tip, you get the first drop off.
That sucks.
Oh, this is wild. It's like bidding on a house.
Right. Kind of.
Right.
You don't know how high should I bid here?
Right. Or you tip the bartender really well when you first get there, so he comes running to you.
I just choose whatever it defaults to. The tip defaults to a certain percentage amount, and I never change it.
You're a defaulter?
How much is it usually?
I think it's set to 9%.
It seems low.
I've never done any of those.
9% seems low.
I think it's 5, 9,
for 15, someone bringing food to your house.
Yeah.
9 is low.
See, I'm old school. I get my own food. I don't want anybody touching my food. I don't know what's going to happen between the restaurant and my house.
No, I know.
Yeah. I don't know you.
I'm with you on that.
I don't know you.
If it's my local pizza place.
Yeah.
And you work for my local pizza place.
Yeah, the delivery guy, yes.
Well, I know if there's a problem, I could call the local pizza place.
Right.
And say, I don't have to call some world corporate headquarters.
Yeah. I don't know who the kid is in the lowered Honda with the loud pipe. They just showed up my house when half my food's missing.
They do text you. You can text them. You can call them. And they show you a little GPS of where your order is and how long it's going to take to get to you.
It's my restroom. It's my restroom.
It should show the cost of, like, the gas, how much gas it's taking to get you there.
Right.
To get your food there.
Uh-huh.
Steve Milford. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks.
So, just wanted to add a little bit to what you guys are talking about.
Please do, as fast as you can.
Absolutely. I used to deliver for Uber as a part-time gig, and Uber used to tell you it would tell you on the app how much you're going to make before you do the delivery, and that would be including the tip and the surcharge.
Oh.
And then people now have up to about a half an hour or an hour to change their tip. So Uber will give you maybe like $3 to deliver McDonald's, for say. And then the total delivery charge, the total delivery payout would be like $10, including the tip. And then the customer could remove the tip at the end, at their full hour that they have. And then you only get that surcharge price. So
That doesn't seem right.
That blows.
I don't think you can do that on DoorDash. Not that I know of, at least.
That blows.
Yeah. I just wanted to add that in.
Because you're picking your job based on, oh, this is a high-paying gig. I'm going for this. I'm going to take this one right now.
Right.
They clearly want their food and they're ready to pay for it.
Opportunity.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah.
You almost want to drive back and go over their lawn and do donuts.
Or just drop their food and
absolutely
hand it to
them.
Right. Right. Well, or bring your dog to turd in the yard.
Nice.
Like, really?
You guys want to hear this, though, real quick. Here's one
more thing. Wait. Can you, as an Uber driver, identify that person as someone who's done that?
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, advanced notice.
In other words, okay, here's the highest bidding job. Oh, wait.
Habitual.
Oh, yeah. It's that lady.
18 times they've pulled the tip. Right. Okay.
Remember this address.
Unknown Uber felon.
Yeah. How does that work?
No, you actually don't remember the person unless you have, like, a crazy memory. But
No. But so there's no storage in the app for that. There's no way the driver can say, hey, this person pulled the tip.
Like a history.
No?
Negative. There's no history storage. Oh, no.
Not cool.
They need that.
Yeah, they do.
Like a Zagat reader.
Here's the thing. You can reject orders. So when the orders come over your phone as an order to deliver, you can take or reject. So, you know, if an order comes over for like $15 and it's like a mile away, you're going to jump on it, right?
Yes.
And then once you deliver the food and then the customer removes the tip, it's no longer a $10 order. It now becomes like a $3, $4 order.
Then you eat in the driveway.
No, but you're already gone. No, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way.
Yeah.
Have a great day, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want out.
The conundrum.
No,
appreciate
I got you. I'm glad you called. Yeah. I learned something, and I don't know why, but it made me mad.
I can see.
Why?
Yeah.
That
sucks.
Yes. You're getting screwed.
Poor guy's just out there trying to make a living.
You've negotiated. Right. Yeah. Here, I'm willing to pay a $10 tip for this to get here first. And
you
then
reneged.
Then you pull it.
You reneged. It's like a Welcher.
Hey, it's Jennifer on the air.
Hello.
For the very last time in her 40s.
Oh.
Jeez.
Tomorrow.
Should we sing happy birthday?
She is 50.
She's going to call like five more times today.
Oh, not today.
Tomorrow you are 50. This is your last call in.
Not today.
So you're gonna stay up all night to maximize 49-ness.
Well, I'm glad you're calling while you still have the breath.
Yeah.
Why did you tell him what you said to me last night, Chaz?
Uh-oh. Do we know this?
What part of the night?
He doesn't
when
know.
You were in your office.
We need to know when.
Help him out, Jennifer.
We were talking about sexy time. And I said, yes, I want to, you know, this is my last opportunity to have sex with a woman in her 40s.
Oh. Huh.
And she said, it better be.
Good answer.
I said, oh, that's right.
Good answer.
There is that option. I never really thought about it.
Good answer.
Then I said, if you're ever single again, it definitely wouldn't be 40. It'd be like 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
Now you wait until mid-50s.
You do the, what's it called, Instacart?
I do. I'm actually working on an order now as I was in the bathroom.
Multitasking.
Meatloaf.
Food goes in, food goes out.
I can't order that.
I need some bread.
Take an inventory.
Accidents.
How do you tip on that thing?
You can add a custom tip or, you know, 5, 10, 15. It goes by increments of 5%.
Okay. What do you normally do?
I always start with a standard, like 10%.
I can tell by the M, you're not going to tell us the truth because you're cheap.
No. So this is what I do. No. So I'll start with a 10% tip, and then once the order is delivered, if I'm happy, when you go to review the order, you can add an additional tip.
Oh.
Oh, really?
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than promising something and then pulling it back.
Yeah.
Well, they contact you from the store, right? Like, oh, we don't have blueberry flavor, but there's strawberry here. Mm. Is that okay?
Yeah. Pop-Tarts?
Like, yes, they go above and beyond.
That's pretty cool.
They chat. Yeah, it's very similar to texting. Unfortunately, not every Instacart shopper is the same. Some of them don't text at all and just, like, give you a different brand of something when you didn't approve it.
They grab whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but it's really, it's a game changer. I mean, since I've been back in school, it's just, I can't be without Instacart.
Yeah, I like that it's all these different people and different stories that arrive at your door.
Yeah.
You know, it's either a young kid you know,
right?
Or
retiree.
A woman with there was one woman who pulled up. She had like three kids in her car. I'm like, look at this woman.
Uh-oh.
Right.
She is working her ass off, or kidnapping people right. along the way. Either way, it's something interesting is going on here in this car.
A car with a missing eye.
Either way, but that day we gave a cash tip to her. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
No, she was great.
And then the girl that delivered our groceries last week, Chaz went to the door and he's like, "Oh, you could just put everything in front of the garage. Gross is okay." And he's like, "She has some cute yoga pants on."
That's not what I said.
Yes, it is what you said.
That's not. I didn't say cute yoga pants. All yoga pants are cute. Some of them remain cute when they're on,
right?
And some of them become something different.
Oh,
I didn't.
You didn't mind.
You know, you're making me sound like a perv here.
That's bad, right?
I did not say that.
The first time you ever went to the front door for Instacart delivery.
I'm in my office.
Instahoochie.
My office is in the front of the house.
What'd you call Instababe?
I hear groceries. By the way, can I say she purposely plans Instacart to come when I'm sitting down to, she knows exactly what time I sit down to do my work every day. And she plans it out to where I'm carrying the friggin' groceries.
3, 2, 1, now.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So I hear the groceries coming on the front door. I'm like, of course they are. Because
right.
this is the time every day I sit down to work on this show. This is what I want to do. I have a cat trying to get in the door, yeah. crying, meow, meow, climbing on the door.
Daddy, let me out.
I'm like, oh my God, look at world crisis. Look at this local news. We got to get 18. Yes, Mr.
Hey.
Furley, I will let you in right now.
Right.
Oh, groceries at the door. Fantastic. I just happened to go to the door to let her know the garage door is easier, and I opened the door. She didn't even want to talk to me. She was in such a hurry, but I saw her back.
Yeah.
And
her
I'm
back.
Like, oh,
you
she
saw her butt, honey. You didn't see her back. You saw her butt.
She is
butt.
Very athletic.
Her bottom.
She must have just left instructing yoga class.
I saw her bottom. Good heavens. It was a pear-shaped bottom.
Did you have to slap her tushy? Did you want to slap it?
It was like a fine apple. A fine apple bottom.
Slap her tushy. It was a little cherry bottom.
I threw a quarter and it bounced right back.
I gave her a piece of coal that came back as a diamond.
I say.
You bite your ass like an apple.
You can crush walnuts with that.
Apple bottom jeans. Boots with the fur.
That's a firm bottom. It's not a butter.
So, how have gas prices affected you?
Our brains, apparently. Yeah, what were we talking about?
All right, get off the phone, old lady.
For bottom.
Love you. Bye. Love you.
Happy
Bye.
Birthday.
Bye.
Yes. Almost birthday.
You guys
Almost.
Hit after
tomorrow.
You guys hit to a ladder tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
So prices going up on all these things. I love these new services.
Yeah.
All of them. I used to spend half a Saturday running around. Oh, I need a box of folders.
Yeah.
There's the office supply store. Now I need to run over here and pick up some windshield washer fluid for the car. And now I got to run
Instacart
over here.
Instacart will pick that up?
Half. Yes.
Oh, really? I thought it was just food. I thought it was just groceries.
Oh, no. Everything.
I had no idea.
Whatever's in the supermarket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so then Amazon.
You sent to
get whatever on Amazon.
Adult store.
Thank God for Amazon.
Whatever restaurant you love that does DoorDash that doesn't deliver comes right to your door. It all comes right to your door.
Nice.
You can double dash if you wanted.
Double dash.
So what is that?
They bring you your food, but it gives you, once you submit your order, it gives you like 10 minutes or so to ask the dasher, that's what they're called, if they can stop at like a convenience store. Like you need something at Walgreens on the way? Yeah. Oh, get me Band-Aids
really?
Also. And bring me my tacos.
I need a toothpick.
Really? You can get Band-Aids and tacos?
You can. If you double
store?
Dash.
Yeah.
Wow.
Found a Band-Aid in my taco once.
That is not good.
No.
Brandon Steiner on Sports Marketing Legend, author, and the king of sports memorabilia. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. What do you think of this Brady ball?
I think it's unfortunate, but, we love the hype, but sometimes the hype just doesn't work out, and I don't think it's going to work out for that guy who paid $500,000 for that ball. So the last touchdown football that Brady threw, they threw it into the stands, and the guy got the ball and got auctioned off for $500,000. What I was trying to figure out yesterday was, is that, even though, you know, he bought the ball with the intention that that was the last touchdown he ever scored, but that's just not true. That won't be true. Is he entitled to get his money back?
Yes. I was having this conversation as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, from a legal standpoint, it may be a little bit blurry. I'm not sure, but, you know, the great ones, that's the beautiful thing about being great and extraordinary. You get choices, and sometimes those choices don't always match up to what other people are doing. And I think with Brady's case, he's probably going to be throwing a lot more touchdowns.
But if he doesn't, the ball's still valuable.
If he has a lousy season, this guy's back in the money again.
Right. Play one, game one, he gets knocked out.
Right. Can't throw anymore.
Shoulders thrown out.
Oh, I can't throw anymore.
Then he retires.
Yep.
I just want to meet the person who paid $500,000 for the ball because I figure maybe I could sell him something, man.
You should.
I don't know if it's that smart a buy to begin with.
Now, you've had a lot of big buyers. I mean, you created this whole deal and really turned it into an industry. You did it. What kind of person has that kind of money to put down $500,000 for a ball? You know, we shouldn't feel sorry for that person,
right?
Yeah,
no, he's poor, right?
Well, I mean, I think part of it is, you know, we've been down this road with McGuire's baseballs, Jeter's 3,000 hit ball. You know, we've sold a whole bunch of things at Collectible Exchange. And back in my old days at Steiner, and I'm not at Steiner anymore, which is weird. Steiner, not at Steiner. But
you sold it.
You know, but at the end of the
day, I think you got more than a Tom Brady ball.
Yeah, I did pretty good.
Okay. There you go.
I love that company. You know, I'm just doing something a little different with collectibles, which is, I think, a little more fan-friendly. But, you know, when I try to explain to people about these crazy purchases, and they are crazy, and there are a lot of them, is that, you know, it's two factors. One, the PR and the advertising and showcasing it does sometimes measure up. And the second thing, the whole thing about being crazy rich is being able to buy things that other people can't. Say you have it and you don't.
Right.
I have it, you don't. I got this ball, you don't. I can afford $500,000 and you can't.
I can buy a sandwich.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little crazy. We've seen a lot of crazy the last couple of years, obviously. But we've seen a lot of crazy in the memorabilia business. It's been incredible.
What was the first time?
My site has just blown up more than I've ever seen it in the 35 years I'm in this business.
Wow.
We're very excited to talk about you coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse with Mariano Rivera. And it sounds like a great night. We're linked up on the radio station website. Brandon Steiner is on, the yep. king of sports memorabilia. What was the first moment in your life where you thought, there's something here with this?
Kind of good at this.
Well, I was a kid, and one of my friends came back. We were probably about 12 or 13 years old, and he had gone to Jets spring, you know, Jets training camp, and he stole a Jet helmet when the player wasn't looking. He stuck on the field and grabbed the helmet, and he came back, and we thought that was like the hell. I mean, it was just, oh, my God. And I was like, man, that's cool. If I can go get some stuff the players wear, I mean, that would probably be worth something one day, which sounds ironic. I was just a kid, but I remember it distinctly, which is, when I first started in the business, I was just marketing players. I wasn't selling memorabilia. So when I saw this opportunity to, you know, to expand the business and start selling what players were wearing and what they were signing, I knew it would be a home run. I knew it would be really big. What's funny is, and, you know, we're going to get into it with Mariano on the 31st at the Ridgefield Playhouse. But what's interesting with him is he had no real interest in keeping his game used till the end. So every year he would bring a bag of game used, and we would buy it from him and sell it, which that's one of my few regrets that I didn't keep more of it because, I mean, who knew he was going to be the legend that he became. But he was pristine about his game used, where a lot of players, it's beat up, it's ripped, it's torn, his
inside
stuff.
Out. Yeah.
His
Does that
stuff
make
was,
it more valuable,
you know,
that it's more used or not?
I mean, the use has to show. The more use that shows, I mean, you can see Mariano's stuff, like, for example, was used, but his stuff was very cool, and he kept his stuff in very good condition. Where some guys, you know, the stuff's kind of, you can see it's really worn out. Like Brian Leach on the Rangers, never forget, like his pants, I think he wore for like 12 seasons. I'm like, dude, are they going to give you his new pants? Because I like these. They're comfortable. I'm not changing.
Is that superstition?
They were seasons.
It's comfort.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of everything.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And dealt with it all with a lot of these players where, you know, especially when we did the Yankee Steiner deal, we were selling the game used stuff. And certain times we took certain things from the players, and there were players not so happy. They're very superstitious about certain things that, you know, they were doing really well, or they had certain jerseys they want to give their kids. Oh, boy.
Oh.
A lot of arguments in the tunnel.
Is the cup ever worth anything?
Well, people always kid around about the cup, which I've never sold the cup. But, you know, it's funny. We sold Jeter socks for a lot of money.
How much?
And it was just in his bag. He gave us a couple $1,000s. Like, the socks were in the bag. And I guess my guy in receiving just put it up on the website. That made the front news of the Post. You know, Jeter socks.
Front page.
Wow. A little bit of a play on words. I guess it was right. I had a little thing with Jeter. But meanwhile, we had like 5-6 pairs of socks. We were getting a couple grand for the socks.
Wow.
I'm like, all right, great. He gave it just by accident. But, you know, had the number 2 on there, and it was his socks. And I guess it worked out for us.
So, Brandon,
you never know. Everybody's got a different view about stuff that they want to buy. And
you signed that deal with the Yankees, and then those players had to turn stuff over to you?
Yeah, when we did the deal with the Yankees, we were selling the bases. That was really a game changer for the industry.
You know, How much crap did you hear at parties for that, the bases?
Oh, God. I never forget the guy from the New York Times was going to write a really nasty article about how the Yankees were selling everything, and I was selling everything under the moon, sun, and stars. And I said and he wasn't a sports fan. I said to the writer, because I was really nervous, a bad article in the Times. You know, the partnership just came out. I said, if you were at a cocktail party tonight in your house, 25 people come over, and Mickey Mantle's cleats from the year he won the Triple Crown in the 50s, all beat up, worn with dirt on, was sitting on a cocktail table. You mean to tell me that no one's going to look at him and want to talk about Mickey Mantle and those cleats? He says, you know, you got a good point. I said, that's why I sell the stuff I sell. It's interesting. It's conversation. It brings back great memories. Because I was selling Jeter's cleats at the time for $2,500 for a pair.
Nice.
Which seems like a lot of money, and they probably go for more now.
How much more? That seems like a deal now.
You can buy a pair of Jeter cleats for around $5,000, a pair that's got some good use to it for as little as $3,000 sometimes. He did go through a lot of cleats. And again, another guy who was very cool, always wore cool stuff. His cleats were custom. They made just for him. Wow. Some players get the cleats customized just for them.
Yeah.
With their name on it, their number, and all that crap. And some wear just kind of the standard. But the big-name players all have cool cleats. Cool gloves and cool stuff, so people will pay a good amount of money for it.
Sometimes they don't even wear them on the field anymore. It's just like a pregame thing. They have like these really cool designs, but the leagues won't let them wear them on the field, so those become ultra collectible.
They throw in the Kmart shoes instead.
Brandon Steiner is on. He's coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse Thursday, March 31st. Tell us about what to expect there.
Well, the one thing is, you know, Mariano and I have been doing we've been doing everything together for over 25 years, and we don't pull any punches when we have these conversations. We get down to it. This isn't, you know, it's a love fest, but it's also a very, very, it's just an amazing conversation, especially if you're interested on some of the ins and outs of those Yankee teams back in the 90s and 2000s and what happened. And he talks about his favorite players, disappointments. We could talk about 2001. And we also talk about, you know, important stuff off the field that most people don't know about.
2001, is that the, with the Diamondbacks?
Diamondbacks,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I bring it up. I don't hold back on anything. I'm like, Mo, you screwed this game up. I want to know what happened. You know, how'd you mess this game up? You came in. I mean, this was supposed to be 1-2-3. But also, you know, he was like the captain of that team, and people don't realize the weight that he carried in the clubhouse. You know, from a verbal, I mean, obviously Dirk was a captain and a great captain, but in a lot of ways, Mariano was the captain too, and he was the guy that would ride people and push people a lot to play better. There's nobody more competitive, and which is one of the reasons why the Yankees won as much. Not because they always had the talent, but some of the inspiration and work ethic that they had behind the scenes with that core four really was a big difference, and Mariano will talk about that. But we don't, you know, we're going to do a bunch of Q&A. And we don't hold back on anything. Everything's an open forum. And, you know, you'd be surprised. Mariano, the depth of his vision about the game, the love for the game, is incredibly interesting. Like, if you have a kid that's interested in baseball, if you really like baseball or Yankee baseball, you'll love this conversation. Because I've got the business view, and I've worked with almost all those players, literally since Mickey Mantle back in the 80s, and Joe DiMaggio even,
wow.
And Rizzuto Yogi. but also have the business view of dealing with all those guys in the 90s and 2000s from Paul O'Neill, Tino. And then he's talking from the clubhouse in. So there's a lot of great stories. And then if you really love Mariano, too, they got these meet and greets that we're going to do beforehand. It's like a VIP package, which is cool.
And we're linked up to all this on the radio station website. Thieves reportedly stole over 1,000 gallons of fuel from a family business, the Fuqua Express gas station.
Fuqua.
In Houston.
The price of Fuqua.
Manager Jerry Thale said his family's business was hit three times. Not one, not two, but three.
Three times!
That's Fuqua.
For about 350 gallons of diesel per day.
Oh.
But here's the kicker. How they did it. A van would park over the station's underground fuel tank, opening a trap door in the floor of the van, and they would lower a hose into the tanks and suck out the fuel.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant. They did their homework.
Here's a news report.
We spoke with the store's manager last night. He says the thieves were after this right here. These are their underground fuel tanks. He says that the thieves got away with more than $6,000 worth of diesel fuel. There's some surveillance footage which shows a van parked at the same location multiple different times. That van was parked over their underground storage tanks. He says he started reviewing their store's cameras because he says his daily inventory checks just weren't adding up.
A van. They were a van.
Wow.
Yep.
That's
brilliant.
An operation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but they kind of deserve it. They really did their homework. Extra effort.
Wait, they deserve it.
Yeah, they did their homework. I mean, that's brilliant.
No way.
I'm gonna buy a van right now. You know, trap door and a hose.
Attorney Norm Pattis is on. We're gonna talk to him about something else, but what do you think on this?
Yeah, I'm curious if the notion that brilliant thieves should get away from it. So the perfect murder is one that should be exonerated. Is that it, AJ?
Exactly. If you're defending, go for it.
Well, you know, it is pretty ingenious. I mean, you kind of wonder about the marginal cost of it. At what point did they decide gas is now so expensive that it makes sense to retool the van? Or have they been doing this all along and nobody noticed because prices weren't that high? I don't know.
Well, they always do the storage check. They always check the tanks against the receipts.
Yeah.
That's a new one on me. I mean, I'm hard pressed to know what the defense would be there. You know, I've often been tempted in a bank robbery case. You know, economists have this concept of the multiplier effect. How often does a dollar circulate in the course of the day? That's the multiplier. So, you know, if a dollar changes hands 15 times, you know, there's a multiplier effect. And so when a person is robbing a bank, they're just freeing dollars up for multiplication in the economy. And that's what keeps the economy going around.
See?
Can we now have a gas multiplier effect?
They're doing service. Yeah, doing service, yeah.
Have you ever defended a bank robber?
I've defended people who've liberated presidents from captivity in vaults, yes.
That's a nice ring to when you say it that way. It's almost like a mercenary mission. I freed them.
That's funny. That's something like that's right. I would hear that and say, yeah, I'm for that.
Yep. Not guilty. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, they got Lincoln, they got Washington, they got these guys locked up in vaults behind bars, and this guy just came in and liberated them. He was returning power to the people.
Right on,
something like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, bank robberies are actually pretty terrifying crimes for the most part. You know, a teller is the face of the bank to the world, and suddenly a guy walks in with a note and brandishes or threatens to brandish a weapon, and anything can happen. I mean, these are terrifying crimes. You know?
Here's your money. Have a nice day. Please take a dum-dum pop.
there are people who, there are bank tellers who've recently said, I don't have the money, go away. You know, they're calling the bluff of the bank robber.
Yeah, right. Next window.
Closed for lunch.
Next window.
You just put that little... Window closed.
I have to potty. Next window.
You know,
next
and that's a really good point because I don't recall hearing of one where some guys, you know, I'm going to blow the bank up if you don't give me your money. All right, knock yourself out. Me too. Knock us all out. You know, you don't hear about that guy. Usually the bluff works. So maybe those bank tellers are on to something.
Like in the Woody Allen movie, Take the Money, Running, where he says, I have a gub. And he's like, what's a gub? No, it says gun. G-U-N.
There's a guy that the feds are looking for around here, Connecticut, Massachusetts. He's robbed like 15 banks.
Yeah.
And one of the robberies, he went in, you know, you could wear the COVID mask.
Now, yeah.
And he passed over a note that said, you know, I want, I think he wrote a specific amount of money.
Well.
And she said back to him, oh, you need to fill out a withdrawal slip.
Oh, no.
Dangerous.
And
did the guy do it?
No. He got on his cell phone, acted like he was taking a call, and walked out the bank.
Wow.
Don't forget to sign that slip.
Right.
We need your full name and address. Name.
Right. License, please.
The correct account number.
I want to say, give me the money or I'll cough.
Yeah, but it's
hard to believe. You know, I mean, now that you mention it, though, I mean, those sellers are onto something. I just don't recall reading of a case where a bank robber resorted to the robbery that was threatened without initial compliance. I think most of these guys are looking to get in, and they mostly are guys. They're looking to get in and out in a hurry. So, you know, you give them a little bit of frustration. They're like, heck with it. I'll go to the next bank. Customer service here is for beans. You know?
I want to see the bank manager right now. Yeah. Bank manager right
I
now,
that
man.
Money. You didn't give it to me. I mean, what does the matter with you tellers these days?
She has an attitude.
Yeah, your tellers have a rotten attitude. I threatened to blow up this place and harm all your customers and damage the infrastructure, and she wouldn't give me a dime. I'm taking my money elsewhere. You know?
Where's my toaster?
Yeah, where's my toaster? That's exactly right.
The risk involved. I'm just handing the money over. Mm-hmm. Whatever's in my drawer, you have it.
It's not mine.
You got a gun, you get the money.
I don't give a rat's ass.
That's right.
Your money. Your money now.
I think I asked
you. Yeah, but you raise a good point. I mean, I challenge you or your listeners or researchers, tell us a case about a guy who came and, you know, put the ominous note over the counter, wasn't given the money, and then resorted to violence. I just don't, you know, in TV you see that, or in the movies you see that, you know, all the people shuffled into the vault and whatnot, and the big dramatic standoff with the cops. But I just don't recall reading about one of those actually taking place.
I'm ripping every chain pen off. Yeah, now your pens aren't chains anymore.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to take all your deposit slips and spread them all over the floor, and you're going to have to pick those up.
Yay!
Can you look that up, Phil? Yeah. I have a feeling that people leave immediately.
Yeah.
Because it's a quick hit now. It's not the old days where it's like, bring me into the vault and I'm bringing in garbage bags.
Right.
I don't even think they have access to
with
the vault anymore.
With your hand in your pocket.
Right. Yeah, if you go to the teller and you ask access to the vault, they go, I can't do that.
No one can get in there.
I don't even have that myself.
Yeah.
I got a hunch that bank robberies are just down in general, too. There's so many other ways to skim cash and so many scams. I mean, why walk into a bank with a pretend gub in your pocket and run the risk of something going wrong when you can stay home and play online and internet fish and hack into a computer and
run for office.
Get as much money more easily, you know?
Run for office, AJ said.
Yeah, run for office, you know, go to law school, become a radio personality.
All these things are good. Yeah. It's all high tech.
There's a lot of ways to get money out of people.
Exactly.
For nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
There's
I get paid.
Canadian news report here. Three teenagers, the youngest of them 13, arrested after violent armed bank robbery.
What does that mean? They got in a fight with one another?
It's
your turn to pretend to hold the gun. No, yours. No,
February of 2020.
All right, well, I was wrong. All right, I was wrong. Wouldn't be the first time. Maybe today, but I just got up.
So. Hey, you met Phil?
No, but I think if you think about the amount of bank robberies and how many turn violent.
Yeah.
First, most people just say, here's everything I have in the drawer.
I would.
That's what they're told to do, I believe.
Yep.
I think so.
Just give it over.
Right. Yeah. Here's my watch,
too. It's not worth it.
What about those exploding money packs, though? I mean, you know.
Yes.
You know, with the dyes on them or something.
Those are fun parties.
Does everybody have one of those in their drawer?
Ooh, trick or treat. That'd be so cool. Throw the kids back.
Can I have more?
Jimmy's,
sure, take from this
Jimmy's
bowl.
Jimmy's red. Boom. Boom. Oh, someone's got to do that.
Wow.
No.
No.
No one should do that.
Like I said, no one do that.
Not what you said.
Come on, it's funny.
I've had money before that had that, you know, the ink on it.
The stain.
The stain.
Really?
Yeah. Stain money. Yeah.
And someone said, that was in a bank robbery.
It's a blue note.
Really? Yes. Like, you're supposed to turn that money in, right?
I don't know. What, so they can give you money or something, you know? I'm not turning it in.
Isn't that part of the investigation?
What's money?
Money's money, you know?
How about little notes that you see on dollar bills? You know, you ever see, you know, sometimes people instead of, you know, they'll put their own note like, you know, Trump 2020 or Biden 2020 or whatever. And, you know, you're looking at this dollar bill thinking, you know, is there a propaganda mill out there where people are deciding to inscribe their own notes on bills? That would actually be a fun study. You know, what sort of notes are people putting on currency and putting into the marketplace of ideas?
We used to do it in elementary school.
We're going around the room right now. Okay, what did you do, Ashley?
We used to do it in elementary school just, I don't remember what we wrote, but just to see if, like, we ever got
that
bill back. Yeah. But I can't remember what I wrote,
like,
so even if I had it in my hand, I wouldn't know.
You know.
Yeah. Like, what I would do is I would take whoever, whatever president it is, and I would make sunglasses on them and then a cigarette coming out of their mouth.
Cool.
Maybe give them a beard. Maybe give them some hair.
Right.
George Washington, I might give one hair straight up on the top of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Complete Franklin's mullet.
AJ?
Actually, there's a trick now, you can turn Andrew Jackson to John Rambo. I've been seeing that a lot on the internet.
Wait a minute, I've got a $2 bill here. It says WPLR 99.1. What's up? What are you guys doing on those bills?
Have you ever, we're talking to Attorney Norm Pattis, have you ever defended a counterfeiter?
You know, I don't think so. Usually I just hire him and put him in the basement.
I'd be afraid to get paid by him. This is real, right? This is real, right? I'm going to check and cash, please.
I like this 20. Can you make me 20 more? Right. No, you know, I don't think I've ever actually had a 20. You know, until this moment, I would have said I've done everything but sex with animals. You know, that we don't get a lot of that in Connecticut. But I don't think I've done counterfeiting either. You know, so.
That's a tough one.
Oh, represented.
That takes a lot of balls.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It's also very hard.
Very
hard to do. They use specific paper and ink, and there's all kinds of hidden
stamps.
Details.
Kind of
because
clerks are so vigilant in checking bills. And, you know, every time somebody checks a bill, I ask them, have you ever had a counterfeit? And more often than not, people will say they have. So there must be quite a bit of it out there. Yeah,
I've handed people like 100 or a 50, and I see them, you know.
Yeah,
checking.
I hate that.
I'm like, really?
Do I look like a you know?
Do I look like someone who?
I guess
could
I do.
Successfully print out something that looks that good,
right? Exactly.
Really?
Right.
Sometimes it's not even you. It's just maybe you got the bill and change.
Yeah, I get
like
it.
Have...
But me?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, they take that marker and like they make a mark on the paint on the bill.
Right.
I guess that proves if it's good or not.
Or I hand my card over to them, and then they're checking the back of the card and all of this. And can you sign? I'm, really? Because I saw 18 other people come through here.
Yeah.
Like, do I have that look about me? Like, I'm going to rob something?
That one time, yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, you do. We didn't really want to tell you that. But there is, you know, didn't you get the memo last night? Criminal profile, Chaz and AJ. Key, be mindful of people. Be mindful of these men or people like them. You know? Yeah.
Norm Pattis.
Mid-60s with a ponytail. They think, oh, my God, here's a holdout from the Symbionese Liberation Army. We've got to check this guy out. You know, I'm always stunned when I make it through the airport without being frisked. You know? So.
Attorney Norm Pattis is on. We were going to ask you about this. I guess we'll do it on another day. There was a company in San Francisco that had an application online, and it asked people to take a test and then an IQ test and then take a screenshot of the score of the IQ test. So basically they were asking, take this IQ test, take this personality test, and send us the results.
Oh, okay.
That's not good. You can't do that.
Why
apparently
not?
People got angry. They took it down. They apologized. They blamed it on an intern.
You want? Oh, really?
Yeah.
We do that?
Blame the intern. Now, you know, I finally found a reason to have a free intern in the office all the time. Even pay somebody paid it in the office.
Scapegoat.
Don't blame the intern. You know, it's the intern defense. No, but I mean, in this case, you know, it's telling in our times because the problem with the IQ test is that if it disproportionately affected,
people of color or women, they'd be able to make a claim of discrimination. Wow. Because the, under Title VII of the Federal Civil Rights Act, employment-related decisions that disparately impact a disadvantaged group.
Ah, we're losing you.
Yep. You know, and so that would be the claim. You're closing off an avenue to that area of liability. But somehow it seems odd to me that employer, especially in this case, it was a hedge fund, a high tech hedge fund. You know, they can't test for intelligence. I guess the new hedge fund ad will be, you know, come work for us, any moron will do, or, you know, high IQ, not necessary, genius.
So I got in.
That's true.
Yeah. Wait, what?
No, that is...
We're so diverse, you know, people with multiple handicaps welcome. I mean, I don't know. You know, we live in weird times, weird times. It reminds me of a case years ago that a former partner of mine, she's now dead, Diane Poland Cookie, brought against the New London Police Department. They gave police officers IQ tests, candidates for office and for the job, and if you scored too high, you were ineligible. You were too smart to be a cop. That's how the case was known. It was about 20 years ago. The judge threw the case out, but her view was, hey, you know, I'm too smart to be a cop. And the city's position was, well, yeah, these guys will get bored sitting down there doing the parking meter test and whatnot. So crazy world out there. Crazy world.
Crazy.
You know?
What I love is the quote at the end from the guy at the top of this company. Quote, because they immediately blame it on an intern.
Yeah.
And he says, quote, they're in trouble. I take responsibility for my team. So why are they in trouble if you take response? In the same sentence, yeah, he said, they're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
I take responsibility for my team.
Right. You are so grounded.
Yeah, he sounds like a real fun guy to work for, you know? I mean, you know, the coffee's cold. Oh, you're all fired up, but I'll take responsibility for my team. It's lukewarm, and I'll spew it out of my mouth and you with me. I don't know. You know, it's tough. It's tough to be an employer these days. There are so many rules, regulations, laws, sensibilities, and sensitivities they have to serve that you hire someone at your peril.
A hedge fund can't ask you if you're smart.
Right.
Hire someone at your peril.
All right, Norm. Thanks for coming on, brother. We appreciate it. AJ, pick a number.
It's 4.
All right, let's see. 4 is 1993. Was that a good year or bad year for movies? AJ?
Good.
Ashley?
Good.
Phil?
Great.
I'm going to say bad. Joe?
Good.
Yay!
We win. What do we win?
What'd I get?
I can't name one movie from 1993, but let's look it up, Phil.
All right, let's see. 1993 box office.
You know what came out in 93? The Firm, which I thought was a terrific movie.
Loved it, The Firm.
Jurassic Park was that year.
Wow.
So already great start.
Yeah, we're off to a good start.
That was the number one movie that year, at least in terms of box office domestically.
Hold on. AJ, could you explain The Firm to us?
The Firm is but a mattress.
You know anything about the movie?
No. Hmm. Is that the one with Leonardo DiCaprio in it? No, that's Wall Street.
Is that a law firm?
I have no goddamn idea.
I think it was 7 years old that year,
The
AJ.
Firm. The Firm. Oh, it's that band that had Paul Rogers in it.
Radioactive.
No.
I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah, no.
You know what came?
Wow.
A Bronx Tale came out.
See,
that year.
Now that I know.
Okay, so it's a great year. There Who said go. Great? Phil did.
I said great.
Phil and, wins.
I knew and, Jurassic Park was 93. I knew that.
The game is good or bad, and not great.
And Dazed and Confused.
Oh, I love that movie. That so accurately depicts like the last days of high school.
Absolutely. All right, so wait. Jurassic Park. Fabulous. Was that the first Jurassic Park?
That was the first one.
Oh, yes. Man.
You didn't say the magic word.
Yep.
Please.
Yep.
What are you guys talking about?
Jurassic Park. You know, Samuel L. Jackson.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't remember every word from
remember
the movie.
Remember Newman? Newman was in that movie and he was on the screen going, They tried to get some kind of password or something like that.
Yeah, he was the hacker within the group. That like leads to all the calamities.
Right. Because of him, folks. Yeah. Eden. Yeah.
Calamities. Yes.
How else would you like me to describe what happened there, Ashley?
Oh, thank you.
Yep. That's Ashley's brain shutting down.
Game over.
That was. You know what was so great about that movie is.
I'm back.
Teleport transportation, yes.
Yes, everyone listening, Joe knows he's on the radio.
Yes, he's on
right
the air.
Now.
Yes, well aware of it. Thank you.
It's your listeners.
I don't know. No, we love
give
it.
Give me advice.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, they're helping me. They're helping me.
It's the first time we saw it. Now there's like 15 of them. The magic kind of goes away.
Too many.
It's kind of the same thing. Oh, my God, science messed with the right. wrong thing. We got too science-y, and
they broke
now
loose.
We got a problem.
They broke loose.
And all hell's... But the first time you see it, you're like, this is just great.
Did a great job with
this
it.
This is original.
Yep.
It's awesome. I haven't seen it recently. So I couldn't tell you, like, does it look real? Do they look real? Or they look sketchy?
It does.
Oh, that part where they lower the cow into the area, the enclosure
the
there?
The goat, yeah.
Whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you see, like, scurrying. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Wait, what's that?
They lowered an animal. I thought it was a cow, it's a goat, whatever.
And yeah, then the chop lens on the windshield, remember?
Right. Yeah. yeah.
Right. And the Jeeps were all safari'd out.
Yep.
The Jeeps were so cool.
Oh, they're no
so
worse. Cool. They were Ford Explorers. I'm surprised I could run from those things.
You know what's amazing about that year, Chaz, is that Spielberg had Jurassic Park, the biggest movie of the year, in the summer. And at the end of the year, he had Schindler's List, which won him his Best Director Oscar. Amazing year for him.
Wow.
Yeah. The best was the guy who tried to hide in the Portalav.
Yeah.
That was a stupid place.
Gets chomped off of the bowl.
Yeah. Right. Now's a good time to poop.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That poor dinosaur.
Yeah.
The snack taste.
I know. Yeah. Blue water. What, you drop a cell phone in there?
Wow. What a year you picked to start with. There's something for all of us here within this year of movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My
takeaway from Jurassic Park that I'll always remember is the nod to Godzilla, where the people are running down the street.
Oh!
I don't think that scene would make the movie now. I don't know, but Asian Americans are,
Right.
Are running, and they're being chased by a dinosaur, and they turn around, and they're screaming. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, this is a scene from Godzilla.
They abandoned the car.
And everybody in the theater laughed out loud because they knew what was happening.
Right.
It was a nod to Godzilla.
Well, it's a tribute.
It's a tribute.
Big laugh.
Don't be so sensitive.
Jazz, the other big laugh I remember is when they look in the rearview mirror and you see objects are bigger than they appear.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Much bigger.
What else came out?
You know what came out that was good? One of Michael Douglas's best performances, that movie Falling Down, where he plays the office
AJ loves I love that one. That's so me later.
Terrific.
That's so me one day.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a great movie.
Didn't do fantastic at the box office, but AJ did stick out to me because I've heard you talk about this before.
Yeah, my dad loved it too, yeah.
What's interesting
That was the year...
Go ahead. Sorry, John.
That was the year that Tom Hanks won the Oscar for Philadelphia, which was kind of a landmark in the depiction of AIDS in Hollywood films.
Now, is that one of those Philadelphia came out that year, or he won that year
it came out that year, and he won then in early 94.
Yeah, that was some movie.
Yeah. Didn't see it, but I heard good things.
Yep. Denzel was in that.
At
good
the
movie.
End of it, he looked skeletal. It was frightening. Because I thought he was so,
really was.
Ill that he was going to die. I mean, he really clearly deserved an Oscar for that one.
One of many Oscars he's won.
Antonio Banderas plays the hot boyfriend of Tom Hanks.
Absolutely, yeah.
Typecast.
He is hot.
He's like Antonio.
Yeah.
Hello.
What's interesting about Falling Down is normally the lead person is the good guy.
Yeah.
It was weird that Michael Douglas was the good guy, but also the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, he was really bad.
He even says it in the movie, wait, I'm the bad guy?
Yeah.
You know,
like he doesn't understand.
He doesn't quite understand.
How am I the bad guy here?
Yeah, exactly. Because everything's been going on with him, and basically he's just been kind of going through this whole movie, and like he's like, I'm the bad guy?
Not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
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 Just abandons his car in traffic, just walks away. Where are you going? I'm going home.
That was the where it snapped for him, right?
Yeah.
The first
in traffic.
20 minutes of the movie. It was like he lost his job, he lost this, he lost that.
Singing in his Chevette,
Yeah, snap.
Yep.
What were you going to say, Ashley?
I was going to name another movie released in 1993.
Yeah.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Great.
Wow.
Epic.
Wow.
Epic.
Great.
great movie.
Good year. What a good year. What a good year that was.
Help is on the way, dear!
Run by fruiting!
Anybody else just lose a filling?
Anyone who puts their on-fire boobs out with hot tops.
Right? Yes. Yes.
That's...
Lids, yeah.
And then
yeah,
has
lids.
A joke immediately after.
Oh, the cake.
My first day as a woman, I'm already getting hot flashes.
The cake was totally an improvised scene. When the officer's looking around his apartment.
I gotta turn you down.
Yeah, well, it's so loud.
Yeah, just too loud.
Well, it's Robin Williams. I get excited. But he put his face in the cake totally as an improvised scene. The
just
script did not say that.
He just wanted cake.
He pokes out of the fridge. Hello!
Really? That was improvised?
Yes.
Wait, what did he say?
Hello!
He was so good.
He's a biscuit.
He was really good. And Sally Fields.
Yeah.
I love her in that one.
She could be in any movie, and I'll watch it.
That I have to go. We have to go. Yes! We have to go now.
We're
I have to go.
Having the mental breakdown. It's hysterical.
Nathan Lane.
Yes.
We have to go. We're going. We're leaving.
What's his face who does the
Pierce
Simpsons
Brosnan.
Voice? Pierce Brosnan's in it.
Pierce Brosnan.
But the guy who does the
Harvey
voice
Fierstein.
On The Simpsons.
Oh,
Nathan Lane.
No, what the hell's his name? Yeah, he was in Birdcage.
Harvey Fierstein.
That's what I meant.
Oh, Firestone. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, then there's the other guy who did was on The Simpsons. Does the voice.
Oh. Know? He was a boyfriend of Phoebe on Friends.
I'm going to get yelled at from my wife today. Uh-oh. She loves this movie. Anyway, so what else came out in 1993?
Diversion.
You know what? Oh,
another
go ahead, Joe.
Terrific movie that came out that summer was The Fugitive with Harrison Ford.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
That's a great movie.
That was the number two
it's
at the box
terrific.
Office.
I didn't kill her.
Terrific.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't kill my wife.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And probably the best reboot of a TV show, maybe. You know, they did different things with it. It was really terrific. And Tommy Lee Jones was so good.
So
in that.
Great.
Really
maybe
good.
Maybe
Joe Pantoliano,
His best is Lonesome
Dove.
Oh, yeah.
You've mentioned that one before.
You got to watch Lonesome Dove. If you want to see Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones at their best.
Yeah.
All right, so 1993. What else? You know what came out in 1993?
What was
that? Oh, I know.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
No,
I'll bet
but
you
I know
$100.
Another one.
Okay.
Of course, probably a Disney movie.
No.
Malice.
Malice.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I didn't see
that
okay.
one.
Alec Baldwin's in it. He's a surgeon who gets sued.
And Nicole Kidman, yeah.
And they decide that the way to get this guy is to get him up on the stand. And he takes the stand. And at the time, I really never heard of Alec Baldwin before, saw some of his stuff.
Beetlejuice.
And that scene where he's on the stand being the arrogant doctor, I'm like, wow, this guy is a brilliant actor. He's really playing this part like a cocky, arrogant bastard. Like, I've never seen, and it turns out, like, you're just kind of being yourself.
He wasn't acting. It's in the script. Just be yourself.
hold on. Joe the Barber.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Joe, I have one of his True Romance with Christian Slater. That was underrated.
And that scene between Dennis Hopper, and Christopher Walken, I think is one of the best scenes of the 90s where they confront each other. Fabulous.
Why do I think this is a Quentin Tarantino
even the
movie?
Fight scene with
Did
James
he write it?
It's, I don't think that's him. I think it's, just blanked on the guy's name. But yeah, there's a lot of violence, and it does have that kind of pace of the dialogue where it feels like you're never really hanging and waiting.
Can you look and see who wrote that, please?
By the way, the name was Hank Azaria.
It was Tarantino.
Thank you.
It was him. Okay.
Oh, what?
It was Tarantino. Directed, but not directed by him.
Not directed by him.
Okay, there's two movies. Joe, sorry. We have the movie guy on so we could talk over him.
We're just so excited.
I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
I was just going to say... There's a great bit in that movie, too, where Brad Pitt plays this stoner who's on the couch and is just sort of reacting to what's going on. Very funny performance by him.
Again, not acting.
There are two movies that Quentin Tarantino wrote that I wish he directed, Natural Born Killers and True Romance. Those movies would be completely different.
I agree.
Combine the two.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, Joe. Thank you. That was a good... Good call-in.
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking of Tony Scott as the director of that movie. So he's the guy that did Top Gun. And then shortly after True Romance, he did Crimson Tide. So, like, he was definitely, like, this was at the peak of his powers almost. Like, he was excellent.
Man.
And that's Ridley's brother, you know, two good brother directors.
I say it would
be. Oh, you don't want to be the third Ridley brother, do you? The Scott brother or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the other guy.
Look.
Yes, I directed this. I directed that.
I fed it a needle.
Right. Yeah. Things are great at the gas station.
Yep.
What were you going to say, Ashley?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Another great movie.
Yes, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Oh, my God.
We're just scratching the surface, Chaz. There's so many in this year.
This is an amazing year.
It's an incredible year.
Have you seen that movie, AJ?
Yes.
What can you tell us about it?
I know that Leonardo DiCaprio plays a special person.
Yeah.
Right? Well, to the point
like, oh, my God,
He won an award,
And what's the name's name, too?
Johnny Depp.
He was Oscar-nominated. Right. Yeah. Nominated.
I can't remember the mom, though. I'm picturing Mama June. I don't know why.
Yeah, she was a big lady.
Yes. Big lady.
Right.
It's a whole big plot point.
Yeah, I
haven't seen
it. I also once, but
who is the woman? I think she's married to what's his face now. She was the woman who gave Johnny Depp a special tip when he delivered the groceries.
Mary Steen.
Mary Springsteen. No.
Married to Ted Danson.
That's it. Thank you.
Steenburgen.
But I remember seeing that scene, thinking, wow, maybe I'll be a grocery delivery boy.
Nice.
This seems like a pretty good job.
I wish my grocery boy looked like Johnny Depp.
Right. Rich is the creator of Connecticut Potholes. And I just followed the page and interesting.
Same.
If you have a road that you think should be included or a specific pothole, call it in right now so Rich can talk to you about it. 1-877-764-2535. Hey, Rich.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So what happened where you thought, you know what we need? The world needs an Instagram page that points out Connecticut potholes.
Well, the first thing is it does have a lot to do with the weather. But these, you know, there's so many potholes that they're throughout the whole year. They're in the side roads. They're on the main roads. They're even on the highway. And I personally, I've spent definitely more than $500 on, you know, repairing rims, repairing bent rims.
Yeah,
really?
Cracked rims, bubbles in the tires.
Where do you live?
Control arms. I live in Waterbury.
Oh.
So it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
And wait, you went through tires, rims, control arms?
That's hitting hard, man. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can't avoid them. I've popped a hole in a tire going 20 miles an hour. And, you know, nighttime, you're driving to work, or in the morning, whatever it is. This morning was foggy, so it's kind of like you're guessing while you're driving.
Yeah, it's too late at some point, yep.
Yeah, I wanted to make the page so, you know, anybody that's listening, it's Connecticut_potholes on Instagram. Any pictures anybody that's listening has could send in, send the locations. And it's kind of putting a time and date stamp on these potholes as well so that if they don't get repaired in a timely manner, then we can go back and say, well, this thing's been here for 10 months or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and the winter didn't help at all. But, at first I'm like, damn, am I a bad driver? You know, but after a while talking to other people, it's like there's a hole around the corner from my job here and got about 40 guys that work here. And three or four of us, including the president's wife, they pop their tires. And, you know, they're not driving like animals. This is standard, regular driving, you know, speed limit. And you can't avoid these things. Sometimes, you know, you've got to swerve out of your own lane into oncoming traffic, you know, to avoid this stuff.
Right.
And it's really, really, it's not only bad for the car, it's dangerous. And I've seen a lot of guys on motorcycles yesterday.
I'm curious how long Rich can talk without taking a breath.
it's amazing, though.
You're passionate about this.
A lot of potholes are reoccurring also. Like, they fix a pothole, and then this time next year, the same thing happens because the same formula, the water goes in there, becomes ice, it expands, it breaks everything apart, you have a pothole.
Or it's like a plug. Like, the plow comes by and scrapes it right out.
Because I have one in front of my house. It's been there. It happens every year. It's been like 5 years now. It's like an annual pothole right in front of my house.
Yeah, so, you know, and like I said, the motorcycle guys are coming out.
Yeah.
You know, I seen a bunch of them yesterday. And
you bend rim flip.
God forbid.
Yeah.
If you guys look on that page, there's a picture of one of my Nikes in a pothole.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that bent my rim and popped my tire. So I'm like, you know what? I got to get some. That's kind of where it started at.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you have an accent?
I took that. I'm sorry?
Are you from Connecticut?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You said I have an accent?
Yeah, a little bit.
It sounded like you had one.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm shaking up from all the potholes.
I can tell.
His brain's rattling around.
That the universe found the right person to handle this Connecticut pothole Instagram page. Kathleen in West Haven.
Hi. Rich, there is a pothole that is so bad at the end. I'm not sure if you're familiar with West Haven, but when you're approaching the end of Wood Street to take a left, like if you were going to go on to 95 over there.
Well,
put it this way, I bring my son to work every morning and I have to go, it's right before the stoplight. So I go around in a big circle because if I go through this, I know I'm losing my whole front end of my car.
Oh my God.
Now you have cars behind me that see me doing this. Do you think that they would wonder why I'm doing it and possibly follow suit?
No.
Right in the crater.
Well, it's fun to watch them, though.
One person lost their tire. Oh, I see it all every morning. And I'm like, did you guys not just see me? Do you think I'm, like, playing chicken or something with another oncoming car? Why would I make, like, a big circle around at the stoplight? And then I talked to the Public Works in West Haven, and they told me that they're attempting to
Did I miss free coffee
car.
Day announcement or something?
Potholes, it makes people angry.
It does.
Really, what's that, Kathleen?
I said, I'm trying to be quick because you'll kick me off.
I'm kicking you off right now.
She's very passionate.
Call you Kathleen the Quick.
Quick Kathleen.
No, very good. No, you made a good point. Anything else before we kick you off?
But they said that West Haven ran out of asphalt, and that's why the roads are terrible here, too.
Ran out of asphalt.
Right. I can't believe they said that.
I don't think that's true.
I'm dead serious. If you don't believe me, Rich, they're down. They go to the Dunkin' Donuts right on 7th Avenue. I mean, right by the beach in the Family Dollar, the Parkade parking lot there.
Yeah.
They're in there every morning in the corner booth, and you'll see all the I probably shouldn't be advertising this, but gentlemen that work for companies that you can assume what I'm referring to, they'll all be there if you need to verify anything I'm telling you.
You got to fuel up.
Well, that's their office.
Right. Right. You got to fuel up before you fill potholes.
Yeah, use their office.
Fill yourself first.
Well, they're out of stuff to fix a pothole, so they got to fix it. You know, they got to fill something up, so why not fill their stomach up with
why not?
Donuts. You know, the cops aren't indulging in it.
That's why I kick people off. So we got everything out of you about
you. Never liked me.
I have always liked you. It's your content.
No, you did not like me. AJ was the only one that was kind to me when my poor dog was missing.
Oh.
Oh, God.
That's horrible.
I'm that kind of person.
Like, it's a poodle?
I'm here for you.
Did I say it's a poodle?
Yep.
Don't you have history with poodles?
Yeah, I don't like poodles.
Yeah, I think that's all that it was.
Did one kick your ass?
No, I'm sorry. Did you ever find your poodle?
Yes, I did.
Oh, thank God.
Right. She has recently passed. She was 17.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow, that's a long life.
I'm
you
sorry.
Talked her to death.
I probably did. You know why? When I bought her at the pet store, her real name was Chaz. So I had to keep talking real quick.
I remember this now. I remember this.
Wait, what just happened?
Well, if you're just tuning in, Rich thought he was going to get this great segment on Chaz and AJ. And then Kathleen called.
I'm sorry, but AJ takes enough. You don't get it at all.
I am enjoying this segment. I don't know what you're talking about.
Today's a great day, isn't it?
You know, and Ashley, you guys aren't bad either. But Chaz,
thank you.
He doesn't like
me. Just focus on me here.
I like you, Kathleen.
I feel like you're making it personal here.
I like your dog.
No, I just don't feel that. You like me.
No, do you know what?
I don't sleep over it.
I know you don't.
I listen to you every morning.
Kathleen.
I hate when you're on vacation and I miss you.
I like Kathleen.
You don't.
Thank you.
Kathleen. Actually, I loved your pictures from over the weekend. They were beautiful.
Kathleen.
You looked
great. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's stay focused.
How about Phil here?
Okay.
The potholes.
I agree.
Anything else? And also, Milford's kind of bad, too.
Thank you. And his potholes.
And we're back.
Thank you.
Oh, I wanted to mention one other thing that your friend Rich that does the potholes might like. Friendly's makes a special ice cream, and it's called Northeastern Pothole.
Nice.
No, thank you.
I want to try it.
It's awesome. AJ, because you're so sweet, I'll buy you, Ashley, and Phil a gallon.
Perfect.
What about me?
Chaz, you don't get one?
A kid cone.
What about me? What about me? What's going on here?
She brought it up to
mention
the Rich.
I'm going to get you bucket. The family bucket. You're going to fill the potholes for me. I thought we had
something
going here.
Might as well put the ice cream in there.
Well, ice cream, alcohol, whatever it takes.
All right, Kathleen, thank you.
You're welcome, Chaz, and no hard feelings.
No hard feelings, no.
What's your favorite kind of ice cream?
I like vanilla.
Or do you prefer alcohol? I know what
to do. Depends on what time of day it is.
Right now, I can just drink.
All right, Chaz.
Kathleen.
You got Fireball, Kathleen?
What?
Kathleen, can I come to your work and just screw it all up?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
How about I come to your work and I just
you
get
are
nice
right
smile.
Now.
Wait, you're bringing ice cream, aren't you?
Yeah.
Thank
if
you very
I come
much,
empty-handed,
Kathleen.
He won't let me in.
Kathleen. Kathleen.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Chaz, and I
have
will be done
day.
With your ice cream ASAP. You have a lovely
okay.
day too. Enjoy the
all
weather.
Right.
That's actually Rich.
Bye,
okay,
guys.
You too.
Bye-bye. I feel
bye.
Like Rich bye. Has bye, dealt Kathleen. With a Kathleen before.
Hey, Rich.
Man.
We are out of time.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.